Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted we have this time again this evening to study the Word of God. Our hope and desire is that these videos are helping, but we know that it would be of greater value to us to be together, that there's something about seeing each other face to face and to have that commonality of being children of God and to be spiritually edified by your presence. And I know I miss you and miss the opportunity to get to know some of you better. And you have been on our hearts and in our thoughts and prayers. And we have so many who are sick. We appreciate Brother Guy with the call tree and Sister Lisa with the sending out the text messages. And we're continuing to pray for you and want the sick to know that you are in our thoughts and prayers. In your Bible, in the book of Matthew, in the second chapter, I want to begin reading with you at verse 13. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed for Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came unto the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. You know, it's interesting when you take your Bible and look at different cases where people tried to stop Jesus Christ. And from the writing of Matthew, we read about the birth of our Lord. We read where Jesus was born as was prophesied from the days of old, and then we read where people tried to stop the Son of God. And it's a shame that so many never talk about Jesus being born and realize why He was born. But we need to keep in mind that everything that happened was the fulfillment of prophecy. Just in the few verses we read, we saw about 3 or 4 prophecies being fulfilled. And you can recall that these men of God were guided by the Spirit, and they were prophesying about the coming Messiah, talking about Jesus. So when God says that something's going to happen, there's no one that can stop it. And at this time, I want to share some simple things with you about things they could not do to Jesus. The first thing I want us to observe is they could not keep him from being born. It had been prophesied from men of old that he would be born, and there's no one who could stop it. I'm certain many wish they could, but they could not. And all the way through the Old Testament, you'll find there were a faithful few that through their seed would come the Messiah. If you take your Bible and look in the Galatian letter and the 4th chapter, you remember that at this time, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Galatia. And as he's writing through the churches throughout this region, notice that he says in Galatians 4 and verse 4, But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now notice that statement carefully, at the fullness of time, when the right time came, God sent forth His Son. And let me tell you something, when God says something, you can mark it down, it'll come to pass. No man could stop Jesus from being born. But then secondly, no man could kill Him when He was born. Notice that Herod tried to do that. That Jesus was born, And here Herod heard about this one from the wise men, heard that he was going to be king, and he thought he was going to establish a political kingdom, not realizing it was the Messiah who came to establish a spiritual kingdom. And Herod sought to kill him. And Herod went so far as to have all the male children in the region and districts of Bethlehem that were 2 years of age and under put to death. Can you imagine the wailing and the weeping of mothers in that region when the soldiers came in and took their male children and killed them, lest they be the one who would rise up and be a political threat to Herod? And imagine all the mothers and fathers who wept because of Herod's plan to try to get rid of and eliminate this one who the wise men were coming to see. But notice that Herod thought he could get rid of Jesus, but he could not. You'll recall that he proclaimed he wanted to worship Jesus. That was a lie. And so God divinely warned Joseph to take his son, Jesus, and go to Egypt until Herod was dead. Have you ever stopped to think they could not keep him from being born, and they could not kill him when he was born? That when God has a plan and God works his plan, man cannot change it. Now, man can defy God, and man can go against God's will, and man can do his own thing, as Herod did. But notice, my friend, when God said something's going to come to pass, it comes to pass. But that brings up a third thought in our study. They could not kill or stop his earthly ministry. In your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the fourth chapter, we read where Jesus has gone into the synagogue, and he reads the book, and he begins to preach to the people of that day and time in Nazareth. And you remember that many of them rejected him at that time, saying, "Is this not Joseph's son?" They said, "How can he say he's the fulfillment of prophecy and say that he's the Messiah?" Then if you take your Bible, you'll find in Matthew 23, when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, he said some things that upset the religious people of that day, the Pharisees and scribes, when he said, "Woe to you Pharisees, scribes, you hypocrites!" And he called them out for the hypocrisy in which they lived. And I'll tell you that when Jesus preached, he preached with conviction. Jesus was one that warned people with love. Jesus preached out of love, but Jesus did not hold back the truth from anybody, but told the truth. And I'll tell you, my friend, that they could not stop him from preaching the gospel about the kingdom that he would establish. They tried to stop him. They tried to kill his earthly ministry, and they could not do it. How many times did people try to stop Jesus from teaching and proclaiming the word, and Jesus would go somewhere else and teach and proclaim it, and disciples would grow and multiply and go other places to say, "We have found the Messiah." But that brings up another thought in our study. Not only could they not keep Jesus from being born, and not only could they not keep him, kill him when he was born, and not only could they not kill his earthly ministry, they could not make him sin on earth. Have you ever stopped to think about that when Jesus was on earth, he kept the law perfectly? And when we talk about the law in this case, we're talking about the Mosaic law. Everybody at that time was under the law of Moses. And notice in Galatians 4, it said he came under the law. And when he was here, he kept the law that God gave Moses perfectly. They could not make him sin on earth. In your Bible, in the book of Matthew, in the fourth chapter, you remember that Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan came to him, and Satan tried every trick that he had in his power to get Jesus to sin. He said, "Why don't you turn these stones to bread? I know you're hungry." And Jesus said, "Oh no, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Then he tried to get him to jump off the temple. And then he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said, "Bow down and worship me and I'll give them to you." Evidently, they were in his power at that time. But Jesus never did sin. Never once violated the will of God. Never once did his desire instead of the Father's desire. Never once missed the mark. Never once trespassed against the law. Never once did something that was contrary to what his Father had uttered through the Mosaic law. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, you remember the Hebrew writer said, he was tempted in all points as we are, and yet without sin. In all points, of all the things they did to him before he died, to even spitting on him, he did not sin. Now, you know something, my friend? They could not make you sin. Sometimes we want to blame others for our sin, but notice Jesus is our example, and though they tried to make him sin, he did not sin against his Father. Now, we're not under the Mosaic law. We're now under Christ. But I'm thankful, my friend, that Jesus left us an example of how we're to do the Father's will. But I'll tell you something else. They could not keep him off the cross. Have you ever thought, my friend, there were some who tried to keep him from the cross? You remember Peter in Matthew 16, 21, had talked to him, and Peter rebuked him when he said, "I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things." And Peter said, "Not you, Lord. This won't happen to you." And remember what Jesus said to him? "Get behind me, Satan." Peter was a tool in the hand of the devil at that time. And Jesus said, "I will do my Father's will, Peter. You or no one else will stop me from doing what I was sent to do." You remember in Matthew 27 and verses 41 through 42, when Jesus is on the cross, they said, "He saved others. Himself he could not save." Oh, he could have, but he chose not to. Why? Open your Bible to John chapter 10 and we'll see the answer. In John chapter 10, notice what Jesus says in verse 18, in verses 17 and 18. In verse 17, he said, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." You ever notice they couldn't kill Jesus unless he allowed it? He said, "No one takes it from me. I lay it down myself." He had to give them the ability to do it. And notice Jesus would not allow anyone to keep him from fulfilling the will of the Father, the commandment which he said in verse 18, "This commandment I've received from my Father. I will lay down my life so that man can be redeemed, so that man can be saved." In Isaiah 53, you remember that Isaiah prophesied about the one that would die? And if you read in verse 10, it said, "It pleased the Lord." How could it please the Lord to smite his son? How could it please the Lord for him to be on the cross? Because he was saving the souls of man. It was his will being fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled the will of the Father to save one sinner like you and like me. And I want you to think about, my friend, that is the depth of God's love for man. And they could not keep him off the cross. But that brings up something else. They could not keep him in the grave. Have you ever thought about Jesus had gone to the cross willingly, but after he's dead, they're afraid that the disciples are going to steal the body or that something's going to occur. So they set the stone against the tomb. They set the soldiers there. They put the seal, but neither soldier, seal, or stone could keep Jesus in the grave. Have you ever thought, my friend, that when Jesus died, he said, "I will take my life back"? He died and was buried, but he rose from the grave, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-3. And you ask me how I know he lives. Paul said he was seen by over 500 at one time. You have people who confirmed they saw the risen Savior. Not one soul at that time ever denied the fact. They were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ. They could not keep him in the grave. I've often thought about here with soldiers that took a bribe afterwards, that they would say that the body was taken. Here were people that were trying to cover up that the grave was empty. I'll tell you something. When God has a plan, God's will be fulfilled. But think about something else. If they could not stop all those things, we need to remember what Jesus said. He's coming again, and no man can stop Jesus from returning. You know, my Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13 through verse 18, that Jesus will come and will be called up to meet him in the air, that the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who remain will be caught up, and we will be forever with the Lord, if we're with the Lord, if we are His. But if we're not, we'll be lost. And notice that Peter said in 2 Peter 3, it will happen by the will of the Lord, and Jesus will come as a thief in the night when you least expect it. But there's nothing man can do to keep Jesus from returning. Today, man just bows his back, bows his back. He acts defiant towards God, says he doesn't believe in God, says he doesn't believe it. He believes that it's just like a fairy tale. He mocks God, belittles God, makes fun of the believers, makes fun of his followers. But I'll tell you, there'll come a day when they'll be sorry they ever mocked the God of heaven when he returns and he meets out justice. You know what that means? You can't stop Jesus. They could not stop him from doing the will of the Father. They could not stop him. They could not keep him from doing his work. They cannot destroy his kingdom. Daniel 2:44 prophesied about that. Some people worry about the church, but I'll tell you, my friend, the church of my Lord will march on till the Lord comes. And they cannot destroy his word. Jesus said in John 12:48, we're going to be judged by this word. And you remember that Peter said that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. And I'll tell you what else they can't keep Jesus from doing. Saving people who obey and who love him and want to follow. Oh, we live in an ungodly society. We live in a very godless age. But I'll tell you, when an individual wants to follow Jesus and be his disciple, nobody can stop him if they have faith enough to do what Jesus said. I'll tell you, that is so important that I put Jesus first in my life. Because one day, when he returns, I want to be with him. And I'm not going to let anybody stop me from being his disciple because I want to be with him. Let us pray. Our Father, you've been so good to us, and we're so thankful for what Jesus did. We're so thankful that your plan was completed. And we know, Father, that you are in control of all things and that man cannot stop you or Jesus, that man cannot stop your will from being done, even though man may defy your will, that in the end, Father, all will be according to what you have promised. We're so thankful that individuals may be saved by your grace. We're so thankful for those who obey your will. We're so thankful, Father, for those that have come to you. And we pray, Father, that there are others who are in need of salvation, that they will do so immediately, that they will put on Christ, or they'll repent of those things that separate them from you. Help us every day to live more like your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.